Right, good morning. I hope you're well. Sorry I'm a couple of minutes late today. It's been a busy old morning, as you might imagine. It's June 4th, 2017. It's Sunday View with me, Richie Allen, broadcasting live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, and Alternate. We're on TuneIn Radio and richieallen.co.uk as well. It's going up for 2 minutes past the hour. A lot going on right now. Obviously, there was an attack or something happened in London late last night, which many of you are waking up to this morning. Obviously, blanket coverage of it on UK television and radio. I'm not going to claim to know what happened last night. As usual, in the absence of any real questioning by the mainstream media, I have one or two questions I think are pretty pertinent to what's going on. And that's what we'll explore over the course of the next 40-45 minutes. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate your company as always. And you can tweet at Richie Allen Show on Twitter, because I'm pretty sure you'll have one or two things to say about it as well. Tweet at Richie Allen Show. Let me know what you're thinking. Let's get on with this edition of Sunday View.
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England, this is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com.
Right, and you're welcome to it. Seven people were killed last night in an attack in London, a bizarre attack involving a van on London Bridge, and then those men leaving that van and attempting to stab people elsewhere. Seven people dead and many more injured, the news programme's reporting today. This is Sunday View in association with davidicke.com. We're on Fab Radio 2, TuneIn Radio and richieallen.co.uk as well. And I've given you the contact details. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Tweet at Richie Allen Show. Now, the Prime Minister, Theresa May, has just addressed the media outside Downing Street, outside number 10. She says enough is enough. What does that mean? I'll be bringing you that audio in a couple of minutes' time, as well as looking through the Sunday newspapers. You're with the UK and Europe's most listened to independent radio show. Again, we'll ask the questions that have not been asked, at least not yet anyway, on the British media, on TV and on radio. Right, so let's get on with it. Again, apologies for the lateness of the beginning of the programme. I've been trying to put together some of the audio clips that I've been grabbing for you from various sources today. Just before I carry on, I did attend the second night of Robbie Williams' tour in Manchester last night at the Etihad Stadium, which is only a couple of miles away from me. And I'm not going to spend too much time talking about that, but the armed police presence there, and I mean police that look like the army, police kitted out in the latest and greatest of protection gear, hardware, armour, some of them wearing balaclavas. And when Williams was on stage, I did notice that near the soundboard, and that's where the sound engineers obviously mix the live sound from the artists on the night, there were armed police. And I thought to myself, well, this is it now, isn't it? Get used to a world where you attend outdoor events or you go places to gather with other people and you're going to have to put up with this, armed to the teeth men standing alongside you while you're clapping your hands and singing along. That was last night. Leaving the event last night and driving back, we heard about what was happening in London. All the papers are full of it this morning. Before we look at the headlines in the papers and talk about one or two of the things, again, not being discussed, one or two of the questions not being asked, let's hear how Sky News are broadcasting to the nation today at the top of every hour. I think this is well worth a listen to. Have a listen to this. This is what people are waking up to.
Very good morning to you. This is Sunrise, live from the scene of a terror attack in the heart of London. Gunfire and panic on the streets as attackers kill six people and injure around 50, some of those critically.
Go, go, go.
But the driver van into pedestrians on London Bridge before heading to Borough Market to stab people. People enjoying their Saturday night, forced to run and hide. Police say they shot dead all three attackers, and suicide vests that they were seen wearing were hoaxes.
The suspects had been confronted and shot by police within 8 minutes of the first call. The suspects were wearing what looked like explosive vests, but these were later established to be hoaxes.
The first picture of the van believed to have been used to kill people emerges. A part of the area here still in lockdown as people caught up in the attack reveal what they saw.
In the Borough High Street, on the corner of Borough High Street and Southern Street, two armed black police behind the X5, black X5. Well, I get back.
We're live in Downing Street as ministers prepare to hold a Cobra meeting, and London's mayor says the city stands firm.
There can be no justification for the acts of these terrorists, and I'm quite clear that we will never let them win, nor will we allow them to cower our city or Londoners.
It's a very fast-moving story here. We'll bring you all the very latest throughout the morning here on Sky News.
Right, that's Stephen Dixon on Sky News. Now, some of you might know, some of you might not. I have a postgraduate degree in television and radio. And I'm going to explain just very briefly, because we've covered this a lot in recent weeks, the drama. It's very cinematic in its nature, the music, the colours. What do I mean by colours? The lenses they use, the lenses they are using on their cameras at the scene. Stephen Dixon, Sky News presenter, and Sophie Ridge ensconced at the scene. It's very Michael Mann-esque. Look at the films of the film director Michael Mann. The music. You can watch this with popcorn. None of this is reporting. It's just pure theatre. You have to keep that in mind, I think, when analysing these things. This is very important to consider. To understand who and what is responsible, you need to take on board that an emotional response is being generated in you by the media. It's incredible how they're doing it. It's very, very... It leans towards... I mentioned the Fox production 24. The way it's filmed. The heightened sense of drama and tension. You are to watch this almost as a form of escapism from your regular life. I can imagine last night, people getting home from their Saturday nights out all over the UK, sitting down and grabbing an extra beer from the fridge to watch this unfold on television. There's no reporting going on, right? None. Now, the papers today, the second edition, Sunday Telegraph headline, carnage across London as terrorists strike again. The Sunday Express, terror at London Bridge. The Sun on Sunday, terror on London Bridge. The Star on Sunday, terror on London Bridge. And the Mail on Sunday, terror strikes London Bridge. Those are the headlines on the front pages of the second editions of the Sunday newspaper. Papers even. And as I mentioned there, every major news channel has their anchors at the scene milking the drama. Now, to more serious matters and the response to it, short time ago, and the reason why I'm a few minutes late today, the Prime Minister Theresa May having chaired a Cobra meeting had this to say to the assembled media. She took no questions afterwards. Have a listen to this.
Last night, our country fell victim to a brutal terrorist attack once again. As a result, I have just chaired a meeting of the government's emergency committee, and I want to update you with the latest information about the attack. Shortly before 10 past 10 yesterday evening, the Metropolitan Police received reports that a white van had struck pedestrians on London Bridge. It continued to drive from London Bridge to Borough Market, where three terrorists left the van and attacked innocent and unarmed civilians with blades and knives. All three were wearing what appeared to be explosive vests, but the police have established that this clothing was fake and worn only to spread panic and fear. As so often in such serious situations, the police responded with great courage and great speed. Armed officers from the Metropolitan Police and the City of London Police arrived at Borough Market within moments and shot and killed the three suspects. The terrorists were confronted and shot by armed officers within 8 minutes of the police receiving the first emergency call. 7 people have died as a result of the attack, in addition to the 3 suspects shot dead by the police. 48 people are being treated in several hospitals across London. Many have life-threatening conditions. On behalf of the people of London and on behalf of the whole country, I want to thank and pay tribute to the professionalism and bravery of the police and the emergency services, and the courage of members of the public who defended themselves and others from the attackers. And our thoughts and prayers are with the victims and with their friends, families and loved ones.
Now, you're going to hear a lot of this today. The police are brilliant. They are heroes. And the public, a lot has been made or being made of the 8-minute response. From the time it happened to the time the 3 guys were shot to death was a total of 8 minutes. Nobody's asking any questions about that. That's incredibly quick. Nobody is asking any questions about, were the men with the knives armed with anything other than knives? Why is that relevant, Richie? Well, if they had knives, they could have been disabled. They could have been disabled and they could have been taken to hospital, and later on they could have been questioned, right? Because at the moment, the guys drove a van onto London Bridge, then went to Borough Market, and there they used knives to attack people. If they were armed with knives and knives only. Now, I know what they're going to say. They're going to say that the fake suicide vests led the police to shoot to kill. That's what their excuse is going to be. But I wonder, could these guys have been disabled? So the police are brilliant. The public, all heroes. Don't ask any questions about that. She then goes on to say, we are experiencing a new type of terror and that things really need to change in terms of how we go about dealing with it. And this is the crux of it. Don't pay attention to this. Listen very carefully.
But we believe we are experiencing a new trend in the threat we face, as terrorism breeds terrorism, and perpetrators are inspired to attack, not only on the basis of carefully constructed plots after years of planning and training, and not even as lone attackers radicalised online, but by copying one another and often using the crudest of means of attack. We cannot and must not pretend that things can continue as they are. Things need to change, and they need to change in 4 important ways. First, while the recent attacks are not connected by common networks, they are connected in 1 important sense. They are bound together by the single evil ideology of Islamist extremism that preaches hatred, sows division, and promotes sectarianism. It is an ideology that claims our Western values of freedom, democracy, and human rights are incompatible with the religion of Islam. It is an ideology that is a perversion of Islam and a perversion of the truth. Defeating this ideology is one of the great challenges of our time, but it cannot be defeated through military intervention alone. It will not be defeated through the maintenance of a permanent defensive counter-terrorism operation, however skillful its leaders and practitioners. It will only be defeated when we turn people's minds away from this violence and make them understand that our values, pluralistic British values, are superior to anything offered by the preachers and supporters of hate.
It's the internet, right? That's where she is going, right? Privatising the internet, which is actually in their manifesto. This is what she says next, and this is what it's been about all along. Again, remember what people like David Icke have said, for a long time. Watch the response. Watch the reaction. Because by doing that and understanding the response and the reaction, it gives you a clue as to, A, who benefits from events like last night, and B, who might be responsible for them. It's the internet.
Second, we cannot allow this ideology the safe space it needs to breed. Yet that is precisely what the internet and the big companies that provide internet-based services provide. We need to work with allied democratic governments to reach international agreements that regulate cyberspace to prevent the spread of extremist and terrorism planning.
To prevent people like you and me and others discussing these events and applying critical thinking to those discussions. You see, we have to have international agreements to regulate cyberspace because there are people in the world, and I'm not talking about the fraudulent, idiotic independent media, the fools, the wannabe celebrities who spend most of their days appearing on one another's programmes. The idiots, they're as bad as Sky News or Channel 4. You know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to name them. They don't deserve the publicity. The fools who spend every single day of their lives appearing on some Mickey Mouse independent radio show or another. We're not talking about those people. Those are fools. We're talking about the tiny, 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 vigilant, determined, journalistic independent media, where credible men and women, and they are a tiny minority, are not only asking questions about these things, but they're breaking through. They're breaking through barriers. They're getting beyond people's stubbornness and willful ignorance. And I'm talking, obviously, about David and a handful of others. Not the fools who'll be on the radio all day today on Mickey Mouse programmes with 50 listeners. It was a hoax! It was a hoax! I saw dummies! I saw dummies! Doesn't matter whether it was a hoax or not. Well, it does. To the poor bastards who might have been knocked down last night. What matters is what happens after these events. None of these people have any answers. It's the internet. The internet, the internet, the internet. And these virtue signalers will be all around the web today. Paul Joseph Watson and others. We're being attacked. No, you're not, mate. You're not. You're the greatest present the cabal has ever had. Because you fall right into their hands. Katie Hopkins, Tommy Robinson, Alex Jones. Intern them. Put them all in camps. It's exactly what the system wants. May goes on.
And we need to do everything we can at home to reduce the risks of extremism online. Third, while we need to deprive the extremists of their safe spaces online, we must not forget about the safe spaces that continue to exist in the real world.
If we lived in a democracy, those journalists present would actually interrupt her and start shouting her down. And I don't mean rudely, I don't mean aggressively or in a hostile manner, but they would start shouting her down. Define online extremism, Prime Minister. And we want a detailed definition of it. We want an absolute, cross your T's, dot your I's, definition of what you mean by online extremism. But they don't want to give a definition of it, you see. Because by not clearly defining it, anything can be called online extremism. Well, I see that David Icke guy and I see that Jim Mars guy. They're talking about the cashless society and they're talking about the Hunger Games society. That could give people ideas, that. That's not true. It is true, but they'll say that's not true. That could put ideas in people's heads. Therefore, it must be dealt with. She goes on.
Yes, that means taking military action to destroy ISIS in Iraq and Syria. But it also means taking action here at home. While we have made significant progress in recent years, there is, to be frank, far too much tolerance of extremism in our country. So we need to become far more robust in identifying it and stamping it out.
What is extremism, Prime Minister? What do you mean by that? Define extremism.
Across the public sector and across society. That will require some difficult and often embarrassing conversation.
What does that mean? Embarrassing conversations? What? What are you talking about?
Conversations. But the whole of our country needs to come together to take on this extremism. And we need to live our lives not in a series of separated, segregated communities, but as one truly united kingdom. Fourth, we have a robust counter-terrorism strategy that has proved successful over many years. But as the nature of the threat we face becomes more complex, more fragmented, more hidden, especially online, the strategy needs to keep up. So in light of what we are learning about the changing threat, we need to review Britain's counter-terrorism strategy to make sure the police and security services have all the powers they need.
They want a two-fronted war. They want military action. They want to pursue a military action in Syria. They want to pursue military action elsewhere whenever they feel like it. But they also want to shut down dissent to that at home and anywhere dissent breeds. So we've got to destroy the internet. We need to come together to fight it, which means we need to report on one another, spy on one another online and on social media, call the phone lines, call the phone numbers, and let people know, for the good of your country, if there's something you suspect somebody of doing. That's where all of this is going, you see. This is the full-on lockdown of the British police state, and there is no dissent in the corporate-controlled mainstream media to this whatsoever. None. There isn't a question. A single question. Somebody said to me after the Manchester attack, you're very quick, Richie, to talk about questions. Give them a few days. Well, we did. It's been 2 weeks since the Manchester Arena attack. It'll be 2 weeks tomorrow. None of these questions have been asked. None of them. Please define extremism. Why are you putting the army on the streets? Why are you not giving the ordinary police the resources they need? Why are you not doing that? Why are you not looking at the bombing campaigns in Libya, in Syria and elsewhere, and the millions of migrants that's driving out, many of whom we don't know anything about? Why are you not looking at that? None of these questions are being asked. Finally, before she left, and she would not take a question, May said this.
And if we need to increase the length of custodial sentences for terrorism-related offences, even apparently less serious offences, that is what we will do.
Wow! If we need to increase the custodial sentences for terrorist offences and even apparently less serious offences, that is what we'll do. Where in the name of Christ is the journalist in the crowd to go, what do you mean? Less serious offences, exactly, that you lock people up for longer. What do you mean? For challenging the apparatus of the state, for challenging the status quo, for calling you what you are, a perverted, sickening murderer who murders children in Yemen, who perverts the course of justice in the historic child sex abuse inquiry by appointing judges who were friends with Leon Britton. How serious is that an offence, I wonder? In your book of offences against the state.
Since the emergence of the threat from Islamist-inspired terrorism, our country has made significant progress in disrupting plots and protecting the public.
You have to believe us.
But it is time to say enough is enough. Everybody needs to go about their lives as they normally would. Our society should continue to function in accordance with our values. But when it comes to taking on extremism and terrorism, things need to change. As a mark of respect, the two political parties have suspended our national campaigns for today. But violence can never be allowed to disrupt the democratic process. So those campaigns will resume in full tomorrow. And the general election will go ahead, as planned, on Thursday. As a country, our response must be as it has always been when we have been confronted by violence. We must come together. We must pull together, and united, we will take on and defeat our enemies.
More nonsense. Theresa May there a short time before I came on air. And it is nonsense. It's not a cheap, crass comment, unsubstantiated by facts. It is just utter nonsense. Devoid of all meaning and impervious to questioning. And there aren't. any questions being asked about it, and there won't be in the coming days. As to what happened itself last night, the BBC spoke to a man called Gerard. Now, his story, without trying to oversell this, is extraordinary. It is the most detailed witness statement I think I've ever heard after an event like the one that happened in London last night. Never heard anything like it. This is Gerard talking to the BBC. There's quite a bit to take in here, so have a listen. It's about 2 minutes long.
Of course, amongst the chaos, it took several hours for it to become clear exactly what happened. Borough Market, you may know, includes many bars and restaurants. It was a typical busy Saturday night. Many eyewitnesses' stories, they've been sharing videos too about what they saw last night. One of those caught up in the events was Gerard. He sent us his view of what he experienced last night, but a warning, some viewers may find some of the content in the interview distressing.
So I walk up to London Bridge, I go past the NatWest Bank, come under the train bridge. The next minute I saw a geezer on the floor going, I've been stabbed. So I looked at him, I saw blood all down him. His mate come past, someone stabbed my mate. The next minute I saw these three Muslim guys run up with knives. They ran up and started stabbing this girl, three of them. I was defenceless, so I couldn't do nothing, mate.
Mm-hmm.
And then they attacked her. And then they stabbed another guy, I think, if I remember right, that was a bit shocked. They started running up the road, I started going, everybody run, the terrorists run, and they're stabbing everyone. So I followed them, went down towards the NatWest Bank, towards Borough Market, and then we got round here, they started running in, they ran up to, I think, the tavern, they stabbed the bouncer, they're running in all the pubs, all the bars, I can't remember all of them, but they're running in, they're stabbing everyone. I was going to people, run, I was throwing bottles at them, pint glasses, stalls, chairs. I tried to help as many people as I could, but at the end of the day, I was defenceless, mate. If I had fell over, they'd have probably killed me.
When you're saying they were stabbing everyone, what did you actually see them
they
do?
They were running up going, this is for Allah. When they first see him, they went, this is for Allah, and they run up, they stabbed this girl, I don't know how many times, 10 times, maybe 15 times. And she was going, help me, and I could not do nothing. I tried to help her. I threw something at him. There was a bike on the floor. I tried to pick up the chair, but he was locked to it to frighten him, just to get him away from her. I could not do nothing.
There was a bike chained to a chair outside the door of a pub, and these guys were running into pubs with knives. Hang on a sec. Where were the doormen? The security staff. You see, I've been involved in bars and nightclubs for most of my adult life. Running bars, working in bars, DJing in bars. Where were the doormen? These guys were running around with knives, randomly running into places. Where were the doormen? And door women. He goes on.
I could not do nothing.
He couldn't do nothing.
You look at the CCTV, the police wall, they will see me on the CCTV.
I'm just a geezer.
On the CCTV at Borough Market, chasing them, and throwing bottles at them and glasses.
I chased them, I threw some bottles at them and some glasses, picked a bike up off the floor.
I know it's a silly thing to do, but I just tried to save people's life.
He's another hero.
They actually try and attack you?
Yeah, they tried to stab me. When I threw.
Do you have an injury?
No. I threw something at them, like a stall, a chair. And as I threw it at them, it hit them on one of them, two of them on the head, so hit them like that or on the back. And then they run towards me to try to stab me, so I run away. So I know if I slipped over, I'd been dead. I'd been killed there and then.
Yeah. Of course, amongst the cats.
That's not Danny Dyer, by the way. It's a guy called Gerard, who talked about these guys having abandoned their van near Borough Market, running into establishments with knives, whereupon they weren't challenged by any door person or any security personnel, but Gerard threw a bike at them, some glasses, and a chair and a bottle. That account, by the way, I can tell you, and I know you're going to be fainting in surprise, that account has been authenticated by the Metropolitan Police in London and by the media. Leave it alone, Richie. Just a geezer. Where were the doormen? Nobody will ask that question. Speaking of the Metropolitan Police, the commissioner is a woman called Cressida Dick. She spoke to the media again a very short time ago. She said seven people were dead. She gave the hotline number, But she said very little else other than, once again, to acclaim the heroic police and those very brave members of the public.
Thank you very much for coming here this morning. Last night, we saw another appalling and tragic incident in London. Something we hoped we would not see again. Obviously, my thoughts are with all of those affected, those injured, and the families of those innocent people who died whilst out enjoying a Saturday night in our capital. In the early hours of this morning, I visited one of the hospitals where the injured are being treated. There I heard truly remarkable stories of extraordinarily brave actions by officers on and off duty who were first on the scene. I also heard of colleagues from other emergency services and members of the public who ran towards the danger as this incident unfolded. Many, many people risked their own safety to help others and to treat those seriously injured, and indeed to confront the suspects involved.
Like I said, she said other stuff, administrative stuff only. She said she didn't know if the terror threat level was going to be elevated to critical again. She didn't talk about the army. Well, she mentioned it briefly that there was no discussion of that, that it was necessary last week in Manchester and it was necessary briefly in London, but there wasn't anything in that other than we're all heroes. We, the police, are heroes. We dealt with this in 8 minutes flat. The public are heroes. This is extraordinary. We are all great. We came together and showed a united front. There's to be no questions. Dick took a couple of questions at the conclusion of that, but they were, again, questions about the terror threat level. There was no serious questions about, again, was there anything known about the men involved? When can we have that information, please? We need to know who these guys are. What else is happening? Blah, blah, blah. The Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, elected last spring, he was out and about this morning as well, and he was at the same thing. The police are heroes.
I want to say this, though. The emergency services reacted heroically and brilliantly last night. Not only did they tackle the terrorists, but they helped the injured. And as a result of their swift action, few people have died than would otherwise be the case, but also the severity of the injuries are less bad than they could have been.
In terms of the police reaction, it was very quick for them to apprehend the individuals involved. Are you confident that the threat is over, that they've caught all of the people involved?
Look, I've been the mayor now for 13 months, and that reinforces my view. We have the best police and security services in the world.
Yeah, we have the best police and security services in the world. But yet guys were able to get into a van, drive it onto London Bridge, kill people with it, and then proceed on down the road, leap out and start attacking people with knives. But we have the best security and intelligence forces in the world. It's 26 minutes to midday. Keep that in mind if you're listening to this later on. Things might come to light later that you might think, well, why didn't you discuss them? This is what we know at 26 minutes to midday on Sunday, June 4th, back in a very, very brief minute to tell you more about what's being reported and to ask again one or two interesting questions that are not being asked elsewhere.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique people. pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Welcome back to Sunday View. 25 minutes, 26 minutes, is it 23 minutes even? Get it right. 23 to the top of the hour, Sunday, June 4th. Live on davidicke.com. bookdavidicke.com/headlines. Pay attention to that website. I'm going on there right now as I speak. There will be a lot of information posted there during the day as it comes out. Interesting meme posted on there by David. Terrorising Britain to justify the transformation of British society. Something he's been writing about for a long, long time. Terrorising the country, mind-controlled or mind-controlled, trauma-based even, trauma-based mind control to elicit a response from people to justify changing British society. In fact, I spoke very briefly with David earlier on. He'd be here speaking with me if it wasn't for the fact he's got a hard deadline for a book that he's writing approaching very quickly. And David says that one way of looking at these events, he said to me this morning, is that those responsible for these events could be seen as a psychiatrist maybe using some sort of hypnotherapy, and the public are kind of like a patient being programmed how to think and how to respond, because our minds become more suggestible after trauma. And he explains this and goes into this in detail in the book Phantom Self, a book that came out last year. You know, we're being told we're in constant danger, and events and things are being manipulated around that statement to convince you. It's a full frontal assault. You could say a frontal lobe assault. And David said, see the people behind it as programmers, psychiatric programmers, programming the patient, us, the public, on how to think. And our minds are never more suggestible than after trauma. Nobody's done more on that in recent years, on that work, than David. Now, a friend of mine in Dublin, the actress Jean-Ann Crowley, makes the point to me now on Facebook. Remember the response to September the 11th, the imposition of the Patriot Act again. Look back to that. The ready-made response. And you remember some of the horrific, horrific stanzas, if you want to say stanza, paragraphs of the clauses of the Patriot Act. We can come into your house without you even knowing to rummage around your garments, to rummage around your belongings, if we suspect that you have something to do with terrorism. May is proposing a complete change in how the internet is regulated. I told you several times last week, a very good friend of mine who works in compliance for the BBC has said next year, like it or lump it, the Richie Allen Show and others like it will be told you must have an Ofcom licence. Not the money, remember I said it's not the money. It is the agreement that you enter into with Ofcom. The things you can and can't broadcast, the things that are construed to be harmful that you must not talk about lest you get reported, lest you get fined. Look at the response. David is right. We are being programmed. You have armed police on the pitch for a pop concert last night, and I didn't see too many people looking too put out by the fact that they were surrounded by armed police. Now, I'm not qualified to psychoanalyze a crowd of people just by looking at them. I'd be a fool if I thought I could do that. But I didn't see too many people bothered by it. I made a comment walking past them. I'm not an angry man. Never been an angry man. But I have a short temper. And as we were leaving last night, I was with Caroline, and I couldn't help but say, you know, do you realise how stupid you look? To a couple of them with their ridiculously high-powered assault rifles. And they didn't even look at me. They didn't give a shit, basically. Do you have any idea how ridiculous you look? or how this ridiculous this is. But that's what's happening, you see. The transformation of society, as David said on davidicke.com today, terrorising Britain to justify the transformation of society. And David also sent me an article from Wales Online, which I think it was in the paper yesterday. The first arrest using facial recognition software has been made. And the story goes, South Wales police have become the first force in the UK to use the equipment. The first arrest was made on Wednesday, not related to the Champions League final, which was in Wales. Real-time cameras linked to facial recognition software will monitor people in and around the city centre. These images will be used to identify people who exist on predetermined watch lists. To transform British society, said David in his books for years, in Phantom Self last year and today. In a way that stuff can be brought in and nobody will ask any questions about it. What watch list? Am I on that list? I don't mean me, Richie Allen. I mean you. You, the listener, anybody. Am I on that list? Am I on that list? What are you doing with all that information you gather? Where are you storing it? Who are you sharing it with? I want to know. It's madness. 17 minutes to the top of the hour. Another thing I was thinking about today, we haven't talked about it very much, but it just occurred to me today. These events can't be very good for the economies of cities where they happen, right? Now, Paris has been hammered by these events in the last couple of years. I'd love to know what the financial fallout has been for Paris in the wake of these events. Brussels, Munich even. London has had two of them now. Because again, trauma-based mind control. David put me in touch years ago with Cathy O'Brien, wonderful guest, wonderful woman. Stuart Swerdlow on the show recently. Trauma-based mind control. What will it do? Well, undoubtedly, it will give people a sense of pause before going to London for their summer holidays. Do not think that's an exaggeration. I would guess London is going to suffer terribly with respect to people not travelling to the event. Give you an example of that. The Robbie Williams event at the Etihad Stadium in Manchester, both of them, Friday and Saturday, were sold out. Completely sold out. Guess what I saw last night looking around the stands, the Colin Bell stand, and the South stand and the North stand. What did I notice? A lot of empty seats. A lot of empty seats. Now, the event was a sellout. Williams' popularity hasn't waned. I'm not his biggest fan. I like a live event. I like a bit of live music. We went along. We enjoyed ourselves. I wouldn't say I'm the biggest Robbie Williams fan ever, but it was a good show. But around, dotted around the stands, weren't little pockets of seats. A lot of seats were not taken for the show. Why? Because the public are scared shitless, is why. I don't care how many times I get abused for dropping David's name. Been writing about this since the early 90s. This is what's coming down the line. You will not assemble together. Or if you do, you'll have to put up with us standing next to you, armed to the teeth. Something else David said to me, I think it was on Friday or Thursday, probably Friday. He said, because I was talking to him about the imposition. I went to see Salford Reds play Warrington in the Rugby League last Friday, was it? Monday, bank holiday Monday. And I was telling David about the nature of the body searches outside the stadium. It was very, very invasive. Not totally invasive. They're not asking you to bend over and spread your cheeks, at least not yet anyway. I made a crack to one of the guys doing it that it won't be long before we'll be taken behind a screen. And they'll say, bend over and spread your cheeks. And everybody thought it was highly amusing. And we went in and we watched the Rugby League. But David said to me, how long, Richie, before there's an implantable available? That there's an implantable available that you can have and that clears you. You're clear. We identify you. You are marked as safe. How long before this becomes a viable solution to long queues at football matches and rock concerts? And again, I think David is bang on the money. You see, this is what happens after events like this in London. Whether it was real last night or whether it was some sort of staged event, doesn't matter. I happen to think most of the time people die. I told you about my old mate who was on trial in Rwanda in the late 1970s, talking about how the guys who would do that work, drive onto a curb and kill a load of people, are available for hire. But not only that, with unfettered immigration from war zones where people have been destroyed by our militaries, it isn't beyond the pale that some guy coming in with a migrant flow could get into the country and might do something like that. It's very possible that it was some extremist or other. But ultimately, what happens afterwards is what we're trying to get to the bottom of. And it's Sunday View on June 4th with Richie Allen, exactly 12 minutes to the top of the hour. Going to move on. I was downloading and playing audio and editing audio all day today. And the behaviour of the mainstream media, not in any way criticising what they are being told, critiquing it, trying to disseminate it, trying to poke holes in it. No, the media are cheerleaders for the agenda. Listen to Stephen Dixon, Sky News presenter, handing over to Faisal Islam, who's Sky News' senior political editor. Islam is Sky News' employee, right? He's their senior editor. He's at Downing Street. Stephen Dixon is handing over. Listen to this exchange and put your head into your hands and scream. Listen.
As we're just heading up towards the top of the hour, Faisal, we need to reflect, don't we, on what has happened and how it does affect people, not only in London, but up and down the country. We've been talking so much about the election campaign up and down the country and how different parts of the country have swayed in different directions. This is something which unifies a country, isn't it?
I think it is, and I think there's a time when we should all step back and just consider the extraordinary bravery of the police officers who ran into extreme danger and must have saved many lives, as Cressida Dick, the Metropolitan Police Commissioner, has just said. I mean, what extraordinary bravery to run into that situation whilst everyone else was running away and to stop it, stop the murders that were happening, stop the attacks. You know, this is, I think, all politicians are united behind their appreciation for our police services who managed to stop this attack, as horrific and as atrocious as it was, within 8 minutes of the first call coming in. That is something that I think the entire country and all politicians, despite their political squabbles, everybody will get behind the response of our emergency services in preventing further loss of life, despite the awful loss of life and injuries that we saw last night.
This is absolutely untenable. It is absolutely untenable. That for two journalists allegedly to carry on like that, we have to come together. Where's the reporting in that? I understood these guys were supposed to take press releases, read them, critique them, ask questions of them, and interview people. Here you have two Sky News journalists talking about the heroism of the police and how we all need to unite together behind the police and behind the government. I know I lose you sometimes. I know you get fed up. I know that. I know you get bored. I know you scratch your head and you say, Richie, we're sick of it. This horrifies me because I come from that background. I have worked with these people. I was brought up to do this properly. Where I worked, it was absolutely inconceivable that presenters would carry on like that on a morning programme. And this is where I go back to the beginning of the show again. The Michael Mann-esque direction of these news programmes. The drama. The deep voices. The special lenses they are using on their cameras. Ask anybody who's been to film school to look at the way these things are shot by the media. The colours they are using to seduce you into it. So you'll grab the popcorn and you'll go along with them for the ride. Us against them, good versus evil. And if you think Wonder Woman being in the cinema and the new Avengers and Iron Man and all of that bollocks, Marvel DC garbage, if you think that's not related to what's going on right now, you've got another think coming. All of these films are pushing that narrative, good versus evil, Iron Man, transhumanism, all this stuff. It's where David has taken it in his books. All of that is directly related to the way these news programmes cover these events. Because the news programmes are owned by the same companies who make those films. Really, Richie? Yes, really. 21st Century Fox, News Corp, owned by and owning Sky News, the Times of London, and dozens of other publications and TV channels. We're being changed. And this is where David is absolutely right. Our neural pathways are being manipulated to a degree that we'll never ask any questions of it. To a degree that when I occasionally meet people who don't know anything about the programme. Now, most people I meet, I know them personally, so they know the programme. When I meet strangers, they generally never heard of the programme. Generally. Most of the time, right? Let's be honest about it. I'm not being falsely modest. I meet strangers, they haven't a clue. It's radio. No idea. And occasionally we get into conversations like this. And I'm not dogmatic. I'm very gentle. So I'll gently say something like, how could they not know about these terrorists? And I wonder, do the security forces know sometimes that things are going to happen, but because of another agenda, they might turn their backs on them? And I can see people's eyes glaze over. It's like the Jasper Carrot routine. Oh, I've been stuck with the nutter. I'm the nutter, you see. But our neural pathways have been manipulated and changed through trauma-based, fear-based mind control to not ask anything. And perversely, while that's going on, this is appealing to us on some sort of entertainment level as well. We're entertained by this stuff. How many people switched over from a decent film last night because they got a text, oh, it's kicking off in London. Oh, brilliant. Switch over Sky News. Who says, well, actually, that Jack Nicholson film was very good. Let's keep watching that. No, switch over, switch over. Oh, isn't it terrible? Yeah. It's 7.5 minutes to the top of the hour. Sunday View, June 4th, on davidicke.com, on Fab Radio 2, and we're also on TuneIn Radio as well. So the election is on Thursday. What about not having the election? What about not having it, postponing it for a bit? Andrew Marr has been speaking to David Davis, the Brexit secretary. He's also been speaking with Emily Thornberry. Here's Marr.
This means that our election campaign has been knocked off course twice now. Mm. A lot of people feel that big issues, including Brexit, haven't been properly discussed. Do you think there is any case at all for extending the election campaign? And if the Prime Minister decided, could that legally be done?
Well, let me do it the other way around. I'm not sure it can be legally done. I mean, in order to do this, you'd have to have some change of law, I think. And who's going to do that? Parliament no longer exists. I'm not a member of Parliament for the duration, as are none of the other people who were members.
So we're locked into June the 9th?
We're locked into June the 9th. I think actually the public would want us to be locked into June the 9th. I mean, there's a balance of things here. On the one hand, clearly we want to respect the people who have been injured and killed. We want to pay proper respect, and therefore we don't want to carry on across it. But on the other hand, the people doing this are doing this because they despise the freedoms we have. And those freedoms can be the freedom to go out on a Saturday night or the freedom to cast a vote.
Yeah, the freedom. They hate our freedoms. They hate the fact that we vote. They hate this, they hate the other thing, blah, 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 blah. It's been pointed out to me there's a big difference between presenters and journalists. There is, but there's not. There's not. Because they have melded. They have melted even into becoming one. These presenters are journalists because they come from university. They are given NUJ cards. They work at these organisations. And they present the news. So whether we agree with whether or not they're a journalist or not doesn't make a blind bit of difference at all. They are journalists. They are our journalists, like it or not. They're not Bernstein, right? They're not Morrow. Of course not. But that's what you have. That's who they are. And they're chosen because of the way they look, the way they sound. And that's the reality of it. It's a point I get, but it's a moot point, I think. It doesn't matter. They're the journalists. They're on the front lines constantly interviewing Theresa May, David Davis, Corbyn, Diane Abbott and others. Regardless of whether they're any good at their job or not, that's who they are. They are there, for better or for worse. Those are your journalists, right? Presenting this sham, presenting this theatre that we are, plagued with on our TV screens today, and we will be tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that. Emily Thornberry, she pretty much echoed that. She's the shadow, well, she was the shadow foreign secretary. Here she is with Mar again.
Okay, this is an extraordinary situation to have two attacks during a general election campaign. Yeah. The Labour Party is suspending national campaigning, not local campaigning, but national campaigning until this evening, I think. Why are you doing that?
Because I think that we just can't go on today. I think particularly, as I say, in London, it's particularly hard for us. People are waking up this morning not knowing if one of their relatives or one of their friends may have been involved in this. People are desperately trying to get in touch with friends to make sure that everything is okay. I don't think it's right for us to campaign today. But again, it's a matter of balance, because we must not be cowed by these people.
Well, I was going to say, we have to keep calm and carry on. We have to carry on with what we were going to do, which includes, at the moment, above all, politics. And this campaign has been derailed twice by terrorist attacks. You must feel some sense of frustration that you can't get back onto the arguments about tax or Brexit or whatever it might be at this point. Do you think there is any case at all for extending the campaign and trying to delay the election for a week?
No. I think that the Labour Party will begin its campaigning again this evening, our national campaigning. We think that's the right balance. And we also are acutely aware of the fact that what these murderous people want is to undermine our democracy and undermine our values.
And we need to stick together as well, don't forget.
You have to ask people to stick together, that what they're trying to do is they're trying to separate the very essence of London. We are an example to the world of a multiracial, multinational city. We can show the world how it can be, and they just want to undermine it, and we will not let them. And we have to make sure that we continue to stick together defiantly and make sure that we work together again as a community, and people have to be brave and have to be strong today.
Yeah. Brave and strong, we're all together, come together. Look, I'm harping on this point, but I'm going to talk again about journalism. What is journalism exactly? Political journalism. Journalists are supposed to look at the programme of government. They are supposed to look at the actions and the behaviour of elected officials and the statements of elected officials. And they are supposed to rigorously analyse those statements for inaccuracies, for inconsistencies, and for untruths. That's what they're supposed to do. They're also supposed to seek out a credible alternative viewpoint to that being put forward by the politician, the captain of industry, or whatever. That is their job. So today, tomorrow, and the day after, the journalists, if there were any, would be challenging the "we are all in it together, we are one big multicultural, multi-ethnic society, that we all have to get along, and we will never be beaten, we will stand together, the terrorists will never change our way of life." That's garbage, jingoism, sloganeering. The journalist is supposed to take that apart at the knees. Challenge that robustly, aggressively. Talk about the relationship between what happened in Manchester and what happened in London yesterday. The relationship between that and what's going on in Yemen and in Syria. You heard me earlier on talking about our values, our pluralistic values. Our values will triumph over anything. It is incumbent upon the journalist to say, what fucking values are you talking about, you daft bint? The values where your home secretary could go on BBC National Television on Wednesday and say that the slaughter of Yemeni children is justifiable because it's good for British industry. Is that the values you're talking about? So there is a complete absence of that. And yes, print journalism has been replaced by television. Yes, television is being replaced by Twitter and by Facebook. Look at it last night. There's no need for television, or there won't be any need for it in the coming years, because all of the personalities, the cult of personality that is the media, were all out there. Talking heads, Tommy Robinson, Katie Hopkins, Donald Trump himself was tweeting. They were all on there. And where's that going? That's going to a place where, right now, with television, we have no journalism. None. None. Zero. But there's still a danger of it. With live television, you still have the danger of journalism. There's a danger that some presenter, stroke journalist, might actually ask a question. Where Twitter is moving, it's moving to a place where there's absolutely no questioning of it. Trump can tweet out 20 times a day what he's doing, what he thinks and what he believes, and there's no challenging of that. And that's the next, that is the next evolution in terms of the media. Again, we saw it last night. People were on there. In turn, all of the people on the terror suspect watch list, get them all in there. You have people tweeting out stuff about other things. You have the leftists tweeting out garbage. The extreme right commentators tweeting out garbage. But there's no challenging. There's no dissection. There's no discussion of that. That's where it is moving, ultimately. You know, we've long known in the independent media where television journalism has come from, where it's evolved, how it's evolved to get where it is to today. The next step is to remove that entirely. The next step will be the Theresa Mays of this world will not be doing interviews on television. Not that it matters, because they don't do interviews now. Occasionally you'll get a really good question by Andrew Marr or by Kathy Newman or whatever her name is on Channel 4. Occasionally you get a good question, but very rarely. The next evolution is to the narcissistic Twitter, where these people will just tell you what they're doing and where they're going on Twitter, and you'll just accept that. You will digest it. Yes, you can debate it amongst yourselves, but these people will never be questioned on it. They will never be challenged. That's why people go, I get emails all the time from people who are losing their minds. Richie, I'm losing my mind. I feel I'm losing my mind, people tell me. Because when they watch this, it drives them to rage. It then drives them to sadness and depression. And then it drives them beyond that to emptiness. Because they can't understand why the rest of the population cannot see what they see. The obvious. It's staring you right in the face. The intelligence agencies of this country are responsible either directly or indirectly for atrocities like Manchester and London. To further another agenda. To change people's perception, as David said today on davidicke.com. To manipulate people to accept a complete changing of the world around them. And we have no mainstream media. You are left with a tiny independent media. Tiny in terms of a genuine independent media. The independent media is full to the brim with virtue signalling narcissists. Even worse than the mainstream media. Many of them with big followings, most of them with hardly any following at all. People travelling to Syria, for example, from the independent media to stand there on a soapbox and triumphantly proclaim that they are in Syria fighting for justice and dropping a few truth bombs. You know who these men and women are in the independent media. You hero worship them. You send them texts and tweets telling them that you love them for what they do. What are they doing? Standing in Syria, interviewing Syrians who are pro Bashar al-Assad's government, talking about the horrors of the Western-backed ISIS. We already know this. We don't need to be told this again. Are you interviewing the opponents of the Assad government? Are you meeting with Syrians who don't like Bashar al-Assad to put to them the very points that we make on these programmes? Listen, I understand you don't like Bashar al-Assad and his government and his father, but what about the idea that ISIS was sent in here by Western intelligence agencies through Saudi Arabia and that there's much darker things going on? What do you think about that? No, no. The heroes of the Truther industrial complex are the story. They are the story. Not Syria or what's happening to Syria or who's really behind it. Those who go out there, send back these wonderful videos, they are the story. The story isn't Syria. The story is them being there. You're going to have to wake up and you're going to have to start taking on the independent media in the same way you take on the mainstream media. Because the independent media is full to the brim of wannabe virtue signalling celebrities who exist only to exist. They are guilty of something the journalist Paul Theroux called mythomania. Mythomania. I'm going to bring this up. Let me just bring it up. Paul Theroux wrote an article many years ago about Bono and Geldof. It changed my life. I'm not exaggerating. I know I'm an Irishman. We tend towards the dramatic. It changed my entire life. As somebody who grew up worshipping Bono and The Edge and Adam and Larry, living for them, living for their music, living for going to see them live when I could. Paul Theroux wrote an article called A Rockstar's Burden. It was an op-ed in the New York Times in 2005. It's one of the best articles I've ever read in my life. And he talked, and if I can just bring down the paragraph that really spoke to me, I must have read it again and again and again and again, and it changed my life. Let me get it up for you there now. He's talking about Africa and Geldof and Bono, and they're creating a myth that there can be no change or no hope for Africa excepting them being involved in the country. Theroux writes, and I want you to think about your independent media heroes. You know the websites I'm talking about. InfoWars. There's a few others. 21st Century Wire. UK Column. Fuck it. Let's name them for who they are. Think about it now. Think about what he says. Theroux says, Africa is a lovely place, much lovelier, much more peaceful and more resilient, and if not prosperous, innately more self-sufficient than it is usually portrayed as. But because Africa seems unfinished and so different from the rest of the world, a landscape on which a person can sketch a new personality, it attracts mythomaniacs, people who wish to convince the world of their worth. Such people come in all forms and they loom large. Mythomaniacs, people who wish to convince the world of their worth. Look at me, I'm in Syria. Think about it. I am in Syria. Me. I'm the story. I'm talking to people who are telling us that the white helmets are really the bad guys. I'm talking to people who are pro Bashar al-Assad's government. Me! Me! Why are you not talking to the opponents of Assad? Why are you not trying to talk to people who work for the white helmets? What are you saying, Richie, that we're lying? No, no, I actually believe what it is you're saying because I know. Because I've covered these stories. I know who created ISIS. I know who has destroyed Syria, and I know it's not the Assad government. But is your conduct and behaviour really bringing people around to looking at that again? Or is it serving your purpose? Mythomania. I exist to be famous. I exist to be known. I exist to virtue signal. Think about it. Why is that relevant today? It's never more relevant than it is today. As we rail against the mainstream media coverage of this nonsense, these terrorist attacks, where people die most of the time and sometimes they don't, it is vital that you turn that microscope on to your truther industrial complex media. These people are the same as the BBC presenters, as the Channel 4 presenters, but they're worse. They're worse. And their conferences, Come to the Alternative View Conference, Meet the Heroes of the Awakening, have your picture taken with them, tell them you love them for what they do. Don't challenge them. Don't ask them any questions. We've got to wake up, folks, you know. We've got to wake up, I think. We've got to wake up to where we get our information from, who we choose to get our information from, and whether or not we've got the courage to question the motivations of those who provide it. Regardless of where it comes from. Regardless of where it comes from. It's as simple as that. If people were affected physically or emotionally in London yesterday, they have my sadness. I won't say sympathies because I didn't know any of them. Same as I didn't know anybody involved in Manchester. I knew people here. I know people, who treated the people in Manchester. And a good friend of the programme's, somebody very close to him passed away. Starburst magazine I'm talking about. But I didn't know anybody personally, so I can't get upset about it. I can get upset about the response to it and where all of this is taking us. But I'm going to leave it for now. That was Sunday View. I'm back on air again tomorrow on Monday at 7 p.m. UK time. That's 7 p.m. UK time tomorrow. And I'm sure I'll be talking about what happened in London and one or two other things as well. That's 7 p.m. UK time tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Sunday View. I'll get it on social media. I'm really angry, you know. I'm angry with the independent media. I've never been more annoyed with the garbage that is spewed out on a daily basis by clickbait-loving, virtue-signalling wannabe celebrities in the independent media. I'm tired of it. I really am. Listen, we have an enormous audience. This isn't about jealousy or bitterness or me having a problem with people. It isn't. It isn't. We're doing quite well, thank you. We're growing at a rate of 2,000 YouTube subscribers a month, and tens of thousands of people listen to us live every day. That's not a boast. I'm saying that to say I've got no problem with anybody else or their success. But it's time we started looking at the independent media and challenging what they do and how they do it. And if they don't like it, they can suck it up. Simple as that. I can take the slings and arrows. I'm sure they can as well. That was Sunday View. Look after yourselves and one another. I'll see you tomorrow at 7 p.m. BST. Until then, look after yourselves. Get out. Get out and spend some time in the sun. And spend some time with each other. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is The Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.